Aether and Dark Saga is a dark fantasy audio fiction. It contains themes of violence and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Chapter 2, Part 6, Hrothgar. He leaned against the prow of the ship. The wind blowing up the icy fjord of Crag Algen caused his dark eyes to weep at their edges. These last 2 months aboard the Flayed Maiden had taken their toll upon his men, and as much as he was scared to admit it, his morale was suffering also. Unlike previous times, where they had returned home, the hull packed with refugees and supplies, this time, Hrothgar and his crewmen had taken losses. Brothers in arms, fallen in battle to the horrors which overran the lands outside of Alantia. No gold, no silver, no items for trade, and only a single survivor to show for their efforts. A dense mist hung thick and low atop the waters, obscuring all but a few meters in front. Snapping out of his dreamlike malaise, he patted the back of the ship's gruesome masthead. The mermaid, with green tresses covering her skinless breasts, was badly in need of repainting. It had knifed its way through the fog ahead of them, all the same.
It doesn't matter how many times I see.
It still takes my breath away also.
Do you think that much has happened since we've left?
Happened? I would expect much has happened, Akuma. But has anything changed? I very much doubt it.
You know what I mean.
The king?
Of course.
No. The only trait he got from his father, Galador, watch over him, is how stubborn he is.
Listen, I hate to mention this again, Hrothgar.
The Fane will see to their payment. You, of course, know why I do this. I do not expect the same from the others, of course.
These men have mouths to feed, Hrothgar. Do not make them feel bad for wanting to provide for their families. Children and wives cannot survive on faith and duty. We are all not so pious as you, my friend.
Fair enough.
You know, I've been thinking. Do you think things would be different if we had marched to Kalimdor?
If even half of what we've heard is true.
Oh, it is. It's all true. Every word. I've seen it for myself.
You! You're not part of this talk. Go back below deck. You're lucky we brought you with us.
And just what have you seen, Jerov?
I saw the fall of Kalimdor.
Of course you did. And you just so happened to escape where so many others didn't. I've heard enough from you.
Well, I haven't, Eglomar. Now, if you won't let him speak, then I suggest you go below deck yourself.
Very well. I shall hold my tongue.
Continue.
I saw the fall of Kalimdor. A giant demon led an army to the city's walls. I saw the army fail in the capital's defenses.
This is well unknown to all.
I saw the cultists swarm over the city streets. I saw the blood. So much blood.
So you are from Kalimdor, then?
Yes, well, I was. I lived in the inner ring of the city with my wife, her sister, and our children. I'm a merchant by trade, you see, and I've left Kalimdor to travel south. I was returning when I saw the attack. My little girls. I came back for them, you see. But it was too late.
I'm sorry for your loss, Jerov. You will be safe here in Crag Alcan. Perhaps you can find a new life. And in time, a new family.
Yes. Yes, I would like that very much. Thank you.
Well, if you have any belongings with you, I would suggest that you gather them now. We will be on shore very soon.
Well, that is actually the reason I came to speak to you. It is a private matter, though. If you'd be so kind to allow us to speak alone.
I don't see why not. Eglomar, if you would.
Very well, Hrothgar.
Thank you, Eglomar. So, Jerov, what is it that you wish to speak to me about?
I have not been completely honest with you, Hrothgar.
How so?
Well, when I told you that I was a merchant, I may have forgotten to mention that I was actually employed by a merchant, rather than actually one myself. More of a courier of sorts.
I do not see how that makes any difference to me or Eglomar. But do continue.
I was on my way out of the city with a certain valuable item. One procured by a thane of some repute, I hear. A one Thane Olafsson of Bledig.
It is a name I know of, yes.
Well, I had hoped to deliver the item to him and claim the substantial fee for myself. And of course, I would give a share to you and your crew also.
Stealing? Is that it?
Nothing of the sort. My master is long dead in the ruins of Kalimdor. I have nothing to my name, and no family to provide for. I only wish to finish the job I was hired to carry out and receive my pay. Maybe I can start again here in Alantia. Does that sound like stealing to you?
Well, how much are we talking here?
Your cut. 1,000 weight of silver.
Hrothgar met eyes with Eglomar, who had one foot upon a rowing bench nearby. He and Jofrik were deep into faking a conversation and doing so terribly.
I know you heard what he said. What's your opinion?
Who? Me?
Not you, you goat turd. You only need to mention the word money to this one.
Hey, that's not true. Well, okay, maybe you're right.
The fact that you're even asking for our opinion on the matter is telling me you're considering it yourself.
The men risk their lives for me. Thane Magnusson may pay you all, but it is for my cause you do so. Perhaps you are right, Egilmar. The men have mouths to feed.
I do. 6 daughters. It's the reason I agreed to come sailing with you, Hrothgar. I needed the peace and quiet.
Then it's settled, then.
Speak to the rest of the men, Egilmar. Those that agree to return on the morrow. Well, we'll spend the day in Krag Algan, but at dawn, we sail for Bledig.
Korea. Korea dismounted, leaping from the saddle with urgency, yet she made it only a few feet before coming to a skidding halt. Taking the moment to be sure, she paused and concentrated. The icon of magics had not sensed its kind in such a long time, she must be certain. True enough, the detection of dark energies had been part of her training, as it was any member of the Order. But unlike the majority who swore their oath of duty, Korea was particularly susceptible to such energies.
You two, close the doors and get it barred. I'll drop the portcullis.
The bar's missing.
Bloody hell. There. Use that wood.
It's too big. It won't fit.
The lodestone is not masking this. It is strong. Very strong. It feels like...
She lost sight of Cormac as the red sword sprinted up the steps of the Barbican and into the upper gatehouse. Orin and Rowan had begun closing the tall doors to the fortress as she inspected her surroundings. The parade ground was stained with blood and human waste, weapons and armour strewn amongst broken shields and stray arrows.
Fuck me! Use your sword to chop it down, lad!
It's a sword, not an axe. Besides, it's nearly blunt.
You'd be better off using the sword as a bar, then. Look, it'll fit easy. Look, just until we find the bar.
And what would I use, then?
You've been carrying around that fucking weapon of Anvardar's long enough. Why don't you start swinging that around? You can't be any worse with it than this one.
I can't. It's not right. I mean, it's not even mine.
Rowan, come on, lad. He's dead. I know you were close. Besides, you've already took the man's horse. Why not take his sword as well, eh?
Korea?
She heard him, but she could not take her eyes away from the keep.
Korea, what do you think?
It's a bloody sword. A tool. It's meant to be used, not kept in rags.
Look, I know you don't care about it, Orin, but I'm still a member of the Argent Order. He was my superior.
What order? You saw what I saw, Rowan. The Grand Master and all his lackeys. They're all dead.
Well, me and Korea are still alive. And there's every hope Icon Garrick is also. And that young Vinish boy, Sigrun.
Sigmir. His name is Sigmir.
Are you two fucking finished down there? This isn't the time nor the place. Have you forgot the village of undead we've got outside these walls? Fuck me. Korea, what are you looking for?
Something. Something is here. I don't know what, But I can feel it.
Is something inside, Kriya?
Oh, fuck. A demon?
Out of the cooking pot and into the fire. Typical.
She shook her head at them, though it did not ease the tension. It was not a demon, that was for certain. This felt different.
So what is it then? Soldiers? Survivors?
Cultists? Hounds?
You can all keep asking questions, but I still can't give you an answer. Are Tyrians? Not a brain between them.
I'm getting the feeling our good lady here doesn't know herself. Perhaps we shut up for a moment and let her find out?
Maybe this one has a half at least.
Well then, we best get prepared. Get your weapons ready.
Well, I've got a bit of a problem there, see?
For the love of the land.
Annoyed, Kriya strode forward and snatched up the linen-wrapped blade from Rowan's saddle. She held it out across her palms.
Ignatius.
The cloth burst into flame. Hot and fast burning, it was done in seconds, leaving only Breaker behind. A momentary gut-wrenching feeling came over her as she remembered the last time she had held the weapon, replacing her flash of anger with shame and guilt.
Anvidar would want you to have it, Rowan. I wish I could tell you that, but here we are.
Okay.
It's about bloody time, lad. Rely on a woman to make a man see sense, eh?
Orin, get your ass up here with me. Make use of your bow from the battlements.
Well, the garrison must have either fled or... I can't be all of them back in the village, surely.
Your guess is as good as mine, Rowan. But the one thing that is plain as daylight, this bears all the markings of a skilled necromancer. No doubt that abomination Cazalan. Surely another with such skill would have been known to us.
So have we got to the battlements as well, then?
She looked back at Rowan over her shoulder. It made sense. Climb up to the walls, and from there she could rain fire down upon the horde, which was no doubt at the curtain wall by now. Nodding at him, she made movements to go, but it was at that moment she would no longer only feel the presence from within Fort Anwyth.
Whatever this is, I'm about to have my answers.
Small rubble and brickwork came first as the wall surrounding one of the upper floor arrow slits fell away. From inside, three bone white limbs reached out, pushing away the stonework as whatever it was inside began to make its way out.
Elidor, grant me the strength to protect those around me. Shield me from the darkness so that I may guard those who suffer its evils. Gave me unto your light.
Kriya, what is it?
She knew as little as he did. Yet now, as she dug her nails deep, letting the blood flow from her palms, her focus was solely on their protection. She pulled Rowan in close and forced him to kneel down with her, marking out the ground in her blood. She had just finished the sigil when from within the keep, the thing came forth.
Vorlak.
Sigmir. This place was like nothing he could have imagined. Stretching on as far as he could see, white and ash-coloured sand. Alabaster huge stoneworks dotted the landscape like the bones of a long-forgotten god. Broken spires and shattered towers pierced the cloudless skies above. Large halls and temples collapsed down to their foundations. Homes stripped of all welcome. Only pale brick remaining. stretching on ahead for miles. Yindos shone down heavy upon his bare neck as he strode forth from the dock. Why was his god so powerful this far south, he wondered. He knew very little of Anshariad, and as he walked the silent streets of Sondara's ancient capital, he was scared to learn any more of it.
Where are you taking me?
Soon. Soon you will have all of the answers, Ymir.
But why here? Why this place?
In the time before Anshariad, before the Sondaran people came to these lands, this place was known as Elfu Khoras.
What? What do you mean before the Sondaran people?
These lands, Han as you would call it, they belong to the Eridan, the ancient peoples. It was they who built Elfu Khoras, as well as the gates which we must now open.
Gates? Gates? Gates to what? I have so many questions and you will not answer me.
As I said, soon you will have your answers, son of Olaf Druin.
He reached down to the water skin at his waist, uncorking it and guzzling it down greedily. Though it seemed to do little to quench his thirst, he gulped down the body-warm fluid all the same. It was then he noticed it. He had felt nothing but cold since being taken captive, yet now that bone-deep chill was gone.
I will need to drink. This heat, it is too much.
I forget your mortal frailty, your need for nourishment.
The ship, it might have more water. If we go back, I can...
Soon there will be no need for it.
Stopping in his tracks, his heart began to race. The overwhelming sense of falling took hold over him. Was this truly to be his end?
Enough! I will go no further. Why have you brought me here? Why all this way? Just to kill me? Why now? Answer me!
Son of Olaf Druin, you will walk freely, or I will drag you.
Then do so. I don't care anymore. I have lost everything. I have had it all taken away from me, and you have dragged me across Arn, made me see things I don't ever want to see again. And for what? To kill me? To murder me in some strange land? Tell me why.
I do not wish you dead, Sigmir.
What?
In fact, my goal requires that you are very much alive.
I don't understand.
You do not need to understand. Only comply. Now come. Our destination awaits.
Thank you.
Do you want to hear the next episode a week earlier than the regular feed? Do you want exclusive lore and bonus content? Well, if so, please consider joining the Patreon. From as little as $2, you can have all of those things, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling inside knowing that you've helped pay for the hosting fee, the fee for a voice actor, or even some sound effect packs. Please consider joining me and look for a link in the show notes.